All right, let's ask the Lord to help us with the word. Lord, as we come unto you, it is with great thanksgiving, Lord, and when we think of the many dangers, toils, and snares we've come through and how you have brought us through, Lord, it's just marvelous. And we appreciate it, Lord. We appreciate it. We pray, Lord, your word will have free course this morning. We will hear and perceive what we're supposed to. We'll know and we'll be growing you and get everyone. We'll get something from God here and the young people also. We'll get something that will help us, Lord, in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be reading in we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Through chapter 5, verse 10, 4:16 through 5:10, and then the 17th verse of chapter 5, so that you can see the relationship. Now I'm going to depart from my regular way of reading the scripture first, and then tell you what I'm talking about, because it really is simple. But, you know, we have a problem understanding simple things because you were right on target there with your transition prayer. Because we have preconceived ideas and we see the scripture through that screen. Because otherwise it's very simple. So I'll start off with a simple explanation of where I'm going. And then if it gets complicated, you'll at least have gotten something. Won't that be nice? All right. And it's something that the Lord impressed on me sometime last night, I think. The Lord talks to me a lot at night. And it has to do with the fact that each one of us is two people. Now, I've talked, kind of alluded to this before, but it's new and fresh in my mind. We have a body that is really independent of us. It's arbitrary. It's something separate from us. It doesn't reflect us. It was something that happened. We were born of our parents, and this body takes on the characteristics of its parents, not of God, not of what we want to be, but of our parents, our appearance, our height, talents, our disposition. And so, what we, now, when I say we, for the purposes of what I'm talking about, God help me be simple, I'm not referring to our body. I'm referring to we, what we are. And that is not our body. There's two separate things here. We know that, and we often refer to it, but it's far more involved in our redemption than we realize. Our body was born of our parents, not of God. And according to Romans 8:10, while we're in the process of being saved, our body is dead. We're carrying around a body that is spiritually dead. But Romans 8:10 says also that the inner man is alive because of the righteousness that has been assigned to us on the basis of what Christ did on the cross. As we follow the Spirit, that cross righteousness is assigned to us, but it's not assigned to our body. Our body remains dead in sin. Romans 8:10. If you have a chance to flip that one up, you probably already did. But the inner nature is alive because life always follows righteousness. Always. There's no exception to that. Life and righteousness are kissing cousins. They go together. And so we've got two people we're dealing with here. One is righteous and one is dead. Well, you know that. But I want to go somewhere with that. Your inner nature, if you are obeying Jesus and walking in the light of His will, then God, please God to remove the law of Moses. They have nothing to do with it. And He just assigns to you righteousness like you've been a perfectly righteous person. Now remember, this is true only as long as you are following the Spirit of God. Now, the problem with today's theology is they don't add that part. They just say, we're righteous. The idea that we accepted Christ, so we're righteous. No, according to Romans 8, we're righteous providing we're walking in the light of God's will. And that's a monumental error, as you can see right away, because we've got millions of Christians going around believing they're without condemnation, but they are condemned because they are not following the Spirit of God. They made a religious profession and are still walking in their old ways. So that's a mess. But I don't want to deal with that mess at this time. I want to call to your attention that we are two people. You and I are two people. One is visible. The one who is visible is dead spiritually. God has not redeemed him. God has not assigned the righteousness of the cross to your body. And that's why Romans 8:10, it might be worth going there. I know I alluded to it briefly. This first man that I can see looking out at you and you can see looking up here has not received the righteousness of the cross. But it says your spirit, the spirit and the soul are not delineated clearly in the New Testament, but I'm going to treat it somewhat as though it were. But we don't want to get hooked on that. But by your spirit here, Paul means your inner nature. You remember it says that the incestuous man in Corinth was delivered over to Satan that his spirit may be saved. Isn't that interesting? We usually talk about the salvation of the soul, and that's all right. No problem there. But it's interesting because Hebrews talks about the spirits of righteous people made perfect. But now I'm confusing. All right, now, simple. You and I are two separate people. We have an outer man that is arbitrary. It had nothing to do with us. It came from our parents. We inherited this thing. And once we receive Christ, it is spiritually dead. God is not dealing with it. Okay? It's your inner nature. It's who you are. Now, when I'm looking out here, I'm not seeing who you are. You can con me big time, and I'd never know it. Because your body, you've trained your body to present the image that you want presented. That's why you spent your time this morning getting ready for church. You want us to view your body in a positive way, which is good. It's healthy. It'd be terrible if you came here and you're a big slob. So you want us to see, but just keep in mind that this body is not you. If it were you, it would be alive spiritually when you were redeemed. But because it's not you, it was not made righteous when you were redeemed. Now, that isn't too difficult to see, is it? It's all in Romans 8:10. Your body is dead because of the sin that dwells in it. add that on, that dwells in it. So God looks down. He's not dealing with it. He's dealing with you. And what you are, once you receive Christ, what you are is changing by you. I'm not talking about your body at all now. What you are is changing from what you inherited to what Christ is. See, your spirit is being made in the image of God, your Father. Your body isn't being made in that image. Your body is dead. Sin dwells in it. And God's just set it aside. And he said, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with you. Now, we often confuse ourselves with our body. And, of course, there's no way out of that. As long as we're human beings, we're going to do that. But I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere with it. And I haven't even read the scripture because I want it to be where I'm going that God spoke to me about. I want it to be so clear that even when we begin to read the scripture, you don't lose the simplicity of it. Okay? You and I are two people. We've got a body that we did not ask for. It came from our parents' biological process. The chemistry and biology of it just worked out arbitrarily to what we are. Sometimes you'll see a little guy, and he's a giant inside. This is not unusual. You'll see, I don't want to go into women at all. They make them feel bad. We have an old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. Has anybody ever heard that? A couple of you have heard that. Someone said to me recently, you date yourself by the things you say. Because I call someone a flapper. He said, you dated yourself. All right. So from now on and for eternity, think of yourself as two people. When you see where I'm going, you'll see why this is so important. And you'll see where what Kathy said fits in. Otherwise, we begin to think, oh, no, I've got all the things that she said, and woe is me, and I'm going to try to do better, and hopefully when I get to heaven, I won't have these problems. That's about as far as we can get. That's all we know. Now, everything that was said this morning fits in. Praying for Margaret, a judge said, everything is a package here. Because it's talking about sin. It's talking about the problems that we have in our body. It's talking about tribulation, suffering. It all is a package. Now, your body is not partaking of redemption at this time. God says it's dead. Let the dead bury their dead. Okay? But your inner nature, God wants in his image. That's why it says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, about Zion. Those who stand on Zion are righteous people whose spirits have been made perfect. I think sometimes when we say no one's perfect, we're confused. We're thinking about the body. Well, I know my body isn't perfect. But what God wants is to perfect your spirit. Now, I'll tell you where I'm going with this, that God made very real to me. And let me bring it in kind of a side door. Now, we have some very visible presidential candidates, don't we? We're not seeing them. All we see is their bodies. Now, what if these same candidates, what if Mr. McCain, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, what if all of a sudden their bodies disappeared and we saw what they are? I didn't hear that, and it's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing. Because I'm not criticizing anybody. I don't know what John McCain looks like. I don't know what President Bush looks like. And I don't get into politics. That's not my game. I'm not into that. I'm into the kingdom of God. That's what I was called to preach. But I'm trying to point out something to you. That we're not seeing Mr. McCain. We're not seeing Mr. Bush. We're not seeing Barack Obama. We're not seeing Hillary Clinton. All we're seeing is their bodies. Now, suppose the bodies disappeared, and somehow this inner man, the spirit, took on a tangible form. And what we saw in their outer appearance is what they are. What would we see? Well, you don't know because it's hidden behind the flesh. Oh, everybody's got their idea. He's a liar, she's a liar, he's honorable, she's honorable. Everybody's got their idea, but we can't see. Okay. Now, here's the punchline. You've waited patiently for it. What salvation is all about, I mean the root, the basis of salvation, is to change your spirit so that in the day of resurrection, he can give your spirit an outer form that people can see. More than that, but as the ages roll on of eternity, those that God has entrusted with talents and so on, in other words, the body that you will have then is not static. It will evolve as your inner nature evolves. Now, the Bible tells us that in the New Jerusalem, there is no death. That means you have an eternity for your spirit to evolve. Guess what it's going to be like? Your Father, because His seed is in you. Tracking? As that true nature of you evolves into the image of your Father, so will your outer form. We're used to static things. In other words, the biologic body grows, matures, and then it decomposes. Not so with the spirit form. It will grow as you grow. Now, the greatest mistake we can make in life is to live our life according to our body, because it is doomed to corruption. We know someday we're all going to look different than we look now. Take a beautiful movie star and she's 25, and then look at her when she's 85. She's not as attractive, is she? She really doesn't stir the blood. But we know it is inevitable. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are or how handsome you are. When you're 90, you're not going to be attractive. Think about that. Think on it. You want to be wise? You want to see past the end of your nose? Just remember, someday I'm going to be wizened, maybe incontinent, in a nursing home, toothless. You are going to be that way, and so am I. So the person that sows to his body is not wise, because your inner nature is going to last forever. Have I made it simple? Now, can you see when in our transition prayer we heard about, and while this was going on, I was thinking, check, 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 check. Arrogance and pride and whatever else was mentioned, lying, and every kind of thing you can think of that is prominent in the Christian churches. If this remains in you, let's say you have an unforgiving, bitter spirit. Well, you can hide that behind all your Botox and your cosmetics, your war paint and exercise and everything else. You can hide it, but you have a bitter, unforgiving spirit. If God doesn't change your inner man at some point, guess what you're going to look, guess what kind of a form you're going to receive? It'll be ugly. Now you can hide it. Then you will not be able to hide it. It's what you are. Right now, what people see is not what we are. The thing about what God is doing, and as I said, it's the essence of what redemption is all about, is changing our inward nature so that it looks like God's nature, so that it's truthful, honest, friendly. Then, when this body becomes wrinkled, incontinent, toothless, and you finally toddle off to the next world, your spirit goes into the next world. Then in the day of resurrection, when God gives substance to your spiritual nature, you will look truthful. You will look noble. You will look honest. You will look faithful. That's how you will look, because that's what you are. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that makes a lot of things very clear. Because the reason we're going through afflictions, and most of us in here are afflicted in one way or another. It may be physical. It may be in our family. It may be financial. In one way or another, probably everybody in this place has something that's true of them that they wish wasn't. Well, what I'm telling you is they are sent from God for a purpose. They are not to make you unhappy. They are to cause you to pray. Because as you pray, you interact with God, and He in turn works on your spirit. The spirits of righteous people made perfect. That's in the 12th chapter of Hebrew. Those that stand with Jesus on Mount Zion are the spirits of people already righteous, but they have been made perfect. Maybe we need to look at that verse. Lloyd, let's see where that is. I didn't write it down. It's so from 12:19, 22. Good. Somebody around here knows the Bible. Hebrews 12:22 and 23. Anybody want to go for 24? Hebrews 12:23. Lloyd's having a problem with that one. Yeah, he's got it. Now notice, you have, and see, that's not past tense. That is past tense, I mean to say. It's not future. When you accept Christ, you're raised as high as anybody can go. and you have come to the New Jerusalem. You have now come, and you're at one of those levels of holiness, the concentric circles that come out from the throne. You're in there somewhere, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are seeking every day to move a circle closer to God. But you're already there. Well, you're already there. But as you go through the fires of earth, and it's here where your possession, your place in the holy city occurs. It's here. It's in your battles. It's in your afflictions. It's in your worries and your concern. It's here that you're fighting your way where you already are, closer to God. Closer. Your spirit is being perfected while you're battling in the earth. I'm giving you kind of a heavenly look this morning so you'll realize that when you get a cancer, you get some other dreadful thing, or one of your children is run over, or something dreadful happens, it is not the end of the world. When you're serving God, you just look up to Him and you say, Lord, what's the next step? What's the next step? Always. You don't get a formula. What's the next step? What's the next step? And out of every one of these dreadful things that all of us fear and dread, out of that will accomplish what you want, which is to make the real you look like you want the real you to look. There's not a person in here that wants to look, we look at you, what we're seeing is a liar. What we're seeing is someone filled with lust. What we're seeing is someone that's treacherous that we can't count on. None of us wants to look like that if we're mentally healthy. We want to look like somebody that's at least decent. Isn't that right? We may not win the Miss American contest, but we would like to win, look decent, if you don't mind. But none of us in here wants to look, so when we look at you, you look selfish. Or you look arrogant, or all those other things that were mentioned. You don't want to look like that. You want to look like a good, decent person that people can count on. Isn't that true? You don't want to look horrible, so when we look at you, ugh, the yuck factor. We don't want to look like the yuck factor. We want to look so people say, well, that's a nice person. I would like to have them for a friend. Isn't that true? It isn't true? It is true. If we're mentally healthy, of course we want to look decent. We want to look friendly. We want to look honest. We want to look faithful. Well, if we're not faithful in our heart, we can still look faithful in this body which we got arbitrarily. It has nothing to do with us. We just inherited it. And there's sin dwelling in it, in case you didn't know. But we would like to be a faithful person, because in the day of the Lord, what we are is going to be apparent to everyone. And that's why we go through the troubles we go through, so that in that day we will be a happy camper. Well, then people say, look at the millions of Christians that have had limited teaching, haven't made much progress at all. Are they doomed to reflect a bent nature? No, because this is the way it goes. If you do everything that you know to do and please God, you may have never heard any more of the gospel than that Christ was born of a virgin. And there's a lot of Catholic people throughout the Middle Ages, and that's all they've ever heard. And they heard about the host, the communion, and maybe they don't even understand that if it's in Latin. So they haven't learned about the overcoming life. They haven't learned about the servant of the Lord. They haven't learned about the first resurrection. They haven't learned about the kingdom. Those people will be taught after they die. And they will have a chance to come to have their spirits redeemed. But now listen, the person who wastes his talent, who does not take full advantage of everything that God is giving him in the day of Christ, what he has, the little he has, will be taken from him and given to the person that has the most. That's in Matthew 25. It seems so grossly unfair. But Lord, he already has 10 talents. I tell you that him that has not what he has shall be taken from him and given to the one who has. You say it isn't fair. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you a very, very practical thing. Don't get bemused by the enticements of the American culture. Because the only thing that matters to you and to me is what we do with what God has given us. That's what God looks for. He's an investor. He's a speculator. He gives you some talents. He wants interest on them. He doesn't want to come and find, what'd you do with it? I don't know what I did. I didn't even know I had one. And God said, yes, I brought you to a place where you could hear that you do have one and that you're responsible for it. I know, but I was thinking about this and I was thinking about the other. You know, I don't know how many times I get concerned about church people, about you guys. And sometimes when I see you wasting opportunities that you have, frittering away your time and your opportunities, and I am concerned about this naturally because I want you to have God's best. And every time God says the same thing, don't concern yourself. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. And those who sow diligently will reap abundantly. Now, I'm telling you that. And on this day, the 16th of June in 2008. So you can't say to God, I had no idea that was the way it was. I thought I was going to grow up and someday, somewhere, after I'm married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced, and I've gone through my whole thing and I'm satisfied and I'm 65 and I don't get around much anymore, then I'm going to serve you, Lord. Somehow it'll all come out. No. You have no guarantee of tomorrow any more than I do. And God knows what I'm saying and what you're hearing. And he's going to hold me responsible for the way I spent today. And he's going to hold you responsible for how you spent today. I wasn't out last night kicking up my heels. I was listening to the Lord. So I have something to tell you today. And what I'm telling you is that the flesh and blood life never was designed by God to be permanent. It's a prototype. It's just something God set up so that he could have something into which he could begin to impart his nature and his image. But he has left the body alone. That's why the resurrection is so important, because in the day of resurrection, our inner man and our outer man will become one personality. Just like when we're born, our physical body and our soul are one personality. It's just one thing. It's all mixed together. And you know, there was something I pondered about in the Bible. You may never have, but I did. Where it says in Genesis, he separates the light from the darkness. I thought, that's wrong. It should be separates the darkness from the light. See, I was trying to think, he's taking the darkness out of us. But no, I have learned that God knows what he's doing. The default situation is darkness. The original situation is darkness. See, that's the default situation in our personality, is flesh and blood body that doesn't know up from down, and a soul that doesn't know much more than that. And then God, through his word, see, that's why it says, It divides between the soul and the spirit. And it begins to tease out your spirit and imbue it with God's life. See that? And see how crafty God is? And he gets that out. And when he gets it in his image, then he'll give it a form that pleases him. And then, for the first time since you were born, you'll be a whole person again. First, fleshly body, fleshly nature. Second, divine nature, divine body. Then you're a child of God. Then we can get on with the program. Then life begins. I saw, you know, they used to say life begins at 40, but I notice now that the pundits are changing that. Now it's life begins at 70 now, I think. And if we keep going with vitamins, it'll be life begins at 80. So with that in mind, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 16, and maybe now it will make sense. 1 Corinthians 4, 16. Poor Lloyd. Okay. All right, now you can see why the things we had this morning about afflictions and things in reproof and all fit in. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And what's the preceding verses talking about? Because we're in an earthen vessel, isn't it? And that was before that, verse 15. When you go back up, he's talking about his problems. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel. And then, starting in 16, is where we are this morning. We do not lose heart. And this is why. Though outwardly we are wasting away, that is this sinful body, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now remember, this is true if we are following Christ. It's not true if we're walking in the flesh. We're not being renewed anywhere. But if we are following the Lord and we've got all these afflictions and all these problems and worries and concerns and we're praying, the inner man is being renewed, constantly being renewed, renewed, renewed. That's what God is after, that inner man. For our light and momentary troubles. Now, how many in here have troubles that are light and momentary? You have troubles, but you don't view them as light and momentary. But that is the proper view. Compared with what we're dealing with here, your problems and mine are light and momentary. And Paul could talk, couldn't he, with the problems he had. Are achieving. You mean my problem is achieving something? Yes. What does achieving mean? What's a synonym? Accomplishing. Is accomplishing. Any other synonyms? Producing. Any other synonyms? Attaining. Any others? I see all the young people. I think they're back in school. All right. Our troubles are producing. They're accomplishing. They're attaining something. Your troubles are doing this. It's your troubles that are doing this. Yes, but if everything was right and everything was just great and everything, then I could grow in the Lord. No, you wouldn't. You'd mark time for a while. Are achieving for us an eternal glory. And then when you read on down, you find out that glory is your outer form. Hey, we didn't even read them yet, did we? Boy, Thompson. Age. All right. Well, let's start with 18 and start reading. Because remember, we're going to go down to verse 10 in the next chapter. These are all related. Then we're going to jump to 17 because it also is related. You have to get into the apostle's mind to see where he's going. All right, we're going to start with 18 and then we're going to go through verse 10 in the next chapter and then skip to 27. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in, that's your body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. In other words, when we die, we're not going to be found naked. We're going to be clothed with something. For while we are in this tent, your body, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, does that make sense so far? Okay. Now, it is God who has made us. Oh, stop. We're going through the clover here. You remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? Now we're seeing that God is preparing a place for himself. See it? One place is for us, now it's for God. Isn't that something? And that's why all this is happening to you, is for God's benefit. All right, God made you for this very purpose. What purpose? That you might be swallowed up by life. And you're right in what you said. And has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So what is the Holy Spirit? Put you on layaway. See, put you on layaway. He says, okay, I'm guaranteeing you. You know, it'll be here when you get here. All right. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now notice the next verse, because this is very critical. This next verse is a summary of what he said starting back in the previous chapter. See, they're all interrelated. And I thought you might be interested in that. Okay, now let's read verse 10. Very important. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, in the terms of what I've spoken to you this morning, what does that mean?
The body doesn't get what we'll reflect the new body. You reflect it in the new body.
Exactly. You're going to get what you do. You're going to get what you do. It's all talking about one thing. You're going to get what you do. You mess around, you're going to get mess around. It says that in the 18th Psalm. With the crafty, I'll show myself crafty. You mess around, you're going to end up mess around. What we sow, we reap. I bet nobody in here knows where that is in the Bible. You reap what you sow. But nobody in here knows.
Galatians.
Galatians what? Not five.
Six.
Not four.
Eight.
Six.
Six? What verses? You got the right church now about the pews. Galatians 6. Not 14, no. Give up? Verses 7 and 8. And I'll tell you another thing that says the same thing is Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. I bet you didn't know that. Hadassah says, no, she didn't know that. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. What does they say?
And the righteous act of the saints.
The righteousness. Yeah, but what does it say is the righteousness of the saint? What does it say? It tells you what it is. Thought you had it. Come on, you can read. Verses 7 and 8 tells you what it is. It's the linen, which is referring to your outward appearance, isn't it? And how was it made white? With your righteous behavior. And isn't that what Paul said in Galatians 6, 7, and 8? For if you sow to the sinful nature, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Holy Spirit, you're going to reap life. It's talking about your body. See, Paul was always striving for the resurrection of his body. That's why he spoke of the sufferings of Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may attain to the resurrection. See, it's the sufferings that changes your inner nature, which means that when you're resurrected, your outer nature will be changed. See, that's how that all ties together. That's why the sufferings are so important. Because these are the things. Because otherwise, if we didn't have any suffering, we would be immature, have no compassion on anybody, whatever. What's wrong with you? If you served the Lord, you'd be like me. All your kids would be college professors. You'd have perfect health. There'd never be anything wrong. You'd live to be 120. Why aren't you like me? Oh, you've got arthritis. Well, that means there's something wrong with you. If you were like me, you wouldn't have arthritis. That's what we lay on people. Do you realize that? No, these are working for us a weight of glory, your troubles, but it depends on how you take them. If you blame people, you lose the whole thing. If somebody gives you a shot, okay, or they treat you unrighteously, and you burn on that thing, you don't make it right, you don't get before God and say, take the flames out of me, you let it consume you so that you become a bitter person, you didn't get the benefit of that unrighteousness that was addressed to you. You didn't get the benefit of it. God wanted that to drive you into Jesus. He wants the things that have happened to you that are painful and distressing to drive you into Jesus. That's the purpose of them, is to drive you into Jesus and to work that change in your inner nature. If, on the other hand, you begin to blame the tools that God uses, get your eyes off the Lord and onto your problem, there's no change in your inner nature. You wasted the thing God was doing. So whenever you find yourself blaming anybody, just say, I'm off the track, Lord, help me. Because God does not go that direction. When you begin to blame people, God says, no. You forgive men their trespasses, then I'll forgive your trespasses. That's the way he is. So we cannot afford to be holding people in judgment. Because all we do is bind them in chains and ourselves in chains. That's all we do. We don't make anything right. But if instead we say, Lord, help me to profit from this distress, then your inward nature is changing. Right now you may say, oh, nuts, I want to get even and now I can't. But but come the resurrection, you'll be a happy person because you'll say, well, am I glad I took that step, because now it's showing my personality that I'm not a bitter, hateful, vengeful person. I am a kindly and a forgiving person, just like my father on Father's Day. All right. We didn't even finish because we didn't go to 2 Corinthians 5:27, which is one of the first verses the navigators drilled into my poor head. How many know that? If I said 2 Corinthians 5:27, you'd know right away what I was talking about. 17. How many would know what I'm talking about? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, you need to know this, people. Let's say it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And the first clause of the next verse, all this is from God. Okay? Now, I told you the Lord spoke to me last night, and what he made so clear to me was this inward nature taking on substance so that what we are inside is what we are on the outside. Wouldn't that be something if everybody was on the outside what they are on the inside? It was so real to me. It was like something I could almost feel. I said, wow, I never saw that before. I've said it in different ways, but this was so clear. I began to think, what am I going to look like on the outside? What are we going to look at? Then I began to think about all these paper people in the paper, these candidates. What would they look if their inner nature was given form and we could see it? What would they look like? So it was a real big thing in my mind. Now, do you see why all the things that were mentioned this morning, and there must have been 25 of them, and I can't remember them all. I do remember arrogance. Probably I have a problem with that. It's stuck in my mind. But there was a whole bunch of them. You see now, it's just not a case of, oh, I'm not perfect, and I hope someday I am, and I think next Sunday I'll go to the beach. I've had about as much of this as I can stand. See? It is what salvation is. The kingdom is not heaven. The kingdom is not religion. The kingdom is a seed. It's not religion, and it's not heaven. It's a seed. And God's purpose in putting it, the seed comes from God. And God's purpose in putting it in you is so that your inward nature begins to change from a soul to a spirit, from soulish life to becomes a pure spirit before God. And then he makes it perfect in his image. And that's why all this stuff about all of our haughtiness and lying and cheating is not an endless ragging of the saints about how bad they are. It's God reminding us, these are not the image that you want. You don't want to be. How many in here want to be arrogant? You want to be proud. You want to be a liar. You want to be faithless. You want to be dishonest. You want to be ambitious. You want to seek your own good at the expense of somebody else. Do you want that? No, you don't. So these things that are being said to you are not to tell you how bad you are so that you get discouraged. It's to point out why God is dealing with you in affliction and in trouble. It's so that you go to him and say, Lord, I'm afraid I'm arrogant. I need your help here, Lord. You're not arrogant. You have a child's heart. Lord, I told a lie this week. I want that out of me. Lord, I lost my patience this week. I want that out of me. See? And where that's going, it's not to earn you points. It's to change that inner nature so that in the day of resurrection, what shines forth is humility and obedience, faithfulness. So it is going somewhere. Shall we stand? Oh, hallelujah for our troubles. And I say that with fear and trembling. I've had my share. I've got kicked in the head so much. I've got a callus. Amen. Maybe somebody needs to come to the altar. Maybe somebody's been having trouble this week and they didn't know why it was, or they've been blaming somebody. and they didn't see where it was going. It kind of clarified in their mind, because they don't want, nobody in this room wants to be ugly. Nobody wants people to look at you and say, yuck. But that's what will happen, and it says that in Daniel. It says, many shall be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. That's in Daniel 12, around verse 3. Many shall be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. And contempt means the way people view you. You don't want to be that way. When God talks about all these sins, he's that's His love. That's not a hate crime. It's His love. Telling you, come on, guys. Make me happy on Father's Day. I want you in my image. And so I have to keep you in the woodshed for a while. Okay. Oh, surely there's more than this. Huh? After God spoke to me so clearly? Do you want your outer form to be very pleasant? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. And I want to give you that chance this morning, because God gave us a good word, if I say so myself. It's made clear. Bless me anyway. All right. If you need to come, you just tell the Lord, say, Lord, here's me, I'm a mess, and you know it, but I don't want to be that way. So help me. And whatever it takes, if I have to be whumped on pretty good, fine. Just help me to survive and to praise you, to do your will. That's the attitude God loves. Oh, sure. I might as well. I've alluded to it enough.
I think pain and disappointment.
A little different in kind. All right. Now, here's what God does not want you or me to look like. Do you agree? Get ready. Anger, fear, self-righteousness, pride, judgment, self-pity, that was emphasized. Disappointed in God, with God, unbelieving. It's like John's writing on the grocery list. I can't get the last three. Read the last three.
Unrepentant heart. Willfulness and arrogance.
Okay. If that's you, come on. We don't want you looking like that in the day of resurrection, so people are saying, yeah, contempt. Huh? You want to be a beautiful, personable, attractive. How many want to be all those things? Well, this is the way. Yeah, but I'm embarrassed to go forth. People won't think I'm perfect. Well, maybe they don't, but that doesn't matter. You won't worry about it that day. If you need to come and you want to be real attractive and not any of these things that were said, why don't you come? Tell the Lord about it. He's got the power. You don't. You can't change yourself. You can't do it. You could try. It'll only make yourself righteous. Give it to God. He'll do it for you. He'll help you. Amen? Amen. Oh, boy, you're a good-looking group out there. And just think, all I'm seeing is the outside. What must you look like on the inside? It'd be marvelous, I hope. That's what you're saying to me. I'm just what I look like. This is WYSIWYG. It's what you see is what you get. Huh? All right, this is going, gone. Father, in Jesus' name, bless these people that have come. I know there's so many things they could have done this morning, but they came because they fear God. And they love you, Lord, and they want to do your will. So bless them, the things I've said. Make clear to them, I know it's your word for today. Make it so clear that they cannot stumble, but it will lead them on until they also are among those, the spirits of righteous people made perfect. And I thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do anything. So you can stay and pray or do whatever you want. But I want these people to have their time at the altar without distraction.